Well, good evening, folks, and welcome to tonight's regularly scheduled City Council meeting. The meeting is called to order. I kindly ask our City Clerk, Eagle Scout 1958, to please take the roll call.
Chuck Brown?
Here.
Don Cummings?
Here.
Ralph Dantino?
Here.
Megan?
Here.
Sam Hill?
Here.
Dean Kilbert?
Here.
Craig Maladra?
Here.
Richard Marks?
Here.
Ron Singer?
Here.
Don Vogelsberg?
Gentlemen from the Boy Scouts, what troop do you represent?
Troop
37, will you do us the honor of leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Thank you.
And we'll follow your lead, okay? There you go, nice and firm.
Come on up.
Yeah. I like it.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we have some important business to cover this evening. We also have a special committee of the whole following the City Council meeting, but nothing compares to the importance of the announcement I'm about to make. Today, there is a gentleman among us whose lovely daughter called me to remind me that despite his pleas for no attention or celebrations, he is indeed celebrating his 80th birthday today. Alderman Ron Singer, happy birthday.
Cool.
Thank you.
Do you want to say anything?
I'm young for my age.
Yes, you are. You can golf your age, can't you?
Almost.
This guy's an avid golfer. When he goes to play that Pottawatomie putt-putt, he almost golfs his age.
Yep.
So what are you doing for your birthday? Anything special other than...
I took my wife out to dinner.
You are a smart man.
Yes.
She didn't take you out to dinner?
You're next time.
Oh, okay.
Well, happy birthday, Ron.
Thank you, sir.
We know you wanted no attention, but it was deserving of attention, so...
I appreciate that.
That's very, very exciting.
Thank you.
Woo! Special items and presentations. Number 3A. Recommend resolution number 2012-20, yeah. Supporting Protect Local Government Revenues Coalition. Is there a motion?
Second.
Hill makes the motion and Dantino makes the second. You have in your packets materials that Mary McKittrick had forwarded you regarding the ongoing, this is actually an opportunity, if you will, with respect to receiving our funds in a prompt and efficient manner at the state level. Are there any questions regarding this resolution? All in favor of the resolution, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Great. Thank you. Item 4, amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments by any member of the council and or the audience? Item number 5 is the omnibus agenda. All items marked with an asterisk on the agenda can be enacted with one simple motion, second, and vote. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Marks, seconded by Alderman Brown. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
According to my notes, we jump down to item 10, municipal bills for payment. We kindly ask our city clerk to read the bills to be considered.
Bills for payment, total $2,100,106.56.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve and pay the bills as read. The individual bills, the individual invoices that add up to that total can be found in the city council's packet, which can be found at the city website. Thank you.
Second.
Alderman Brown makes the motion to pay the bills as read, included in our packet and displayed on the city's website. The second is offered by the birthday boy, Alderman Singer. What time of day were you born, Mr. Singer? Do you remember?
I'm sorry?
What time of day were you born? Do you recall?
No, I do not.
Probably. It's 80 years ago.
Well, I know, but
some time ago.
Well, was it morning, evening? There were clocks.
Didn't your mother tell you?
There were. There was a sundial
involved. Sundial. Awesome. Okay. Seconded by Singer. Any questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Dorothy Flanagan.
Aye.
Sam Hill.
Aye.
Dean Kilberg.
Aye.
Greg Maladra.
Aye.
Richard Marks.
Aye.
Ron Singer.
Aye.
Chuck Brown.
Aye.
Don Cummings.
Aye.
Ralph Dantino.
Aye.
The motion passes with 9 affirmative votes, 1 absent. According to my notes, we jump down to item 13, new business. Is there anyone in the audience for would like to share anything with us? Any questions? Gentlemen, any questions? We still have a meeting after this one as well, if you'd like to stick around. Anything at all? From the dais, Alderman Brown.
Thank you. On the off chance that someone might not last to the end of the budget presentation in the special committee of the whole meeting, I would like to remind everyone that tomorrow we should all get out and vote. And it is election day tomorrow. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Anyone else on the dais? Mr. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Kane County Regional Office of Education manager gave me several brochures talking about their program and their office, and if anybody's interested, please stop by and pick one up. It's an interesting concept, and it's changing, and we are not going to be for the better after it makes its changes, or it's not going to be for the better. But we can't do anything about it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
Anything from the birthday boy?
Nothing, sir. Thank you.
Anyone else on the dais? Mrs. McKittrick.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As I've indicated to the mayor and our city council, last Friday I received correspondence from outside legal counsel having been delegated the duties of acting ethics advisor. I sought an opinion on the FOIA that the city had received relative to the mayor's emails, phone calls, etc. And I'd like to read that correspondence at this time. This is from attorney Kevin Drendel, who is the city attorney for the city of Batavia. I believe he's also the attorney for the village of North Aurora, or at least was. And I asked him to provide an opinion on the matter. Dear Ms. McKittrick, I'm writing to you regarding the allegations of ethical impropriety involving emails that were sent to and from Mayor Burns' city email address relating to his campaign for Kane County Chairman. I understand that no formal complaint has been filed with the City Ethics Commission, but some council members and constituents have informally sought an opinion from the city. Chuck Radovich, the city attorney, has recused himself from acting as the city ethics officer in this instance. My understanding is that he has delegated his duties as ethics officer to you, and you have asked me to advise you. Prohibited political activity. The public allegations implicate the state ethics law, which the city has adopted, in Title I, Chapter 6, Article H of the City Code. The ethics provisions related to prohibited political activity are at issue. Political activities are defined in Section 1-6H-1. The definition includes managing or working on a campaign for elective office. Section 1-6H-3 provides, among other things, as follows. No officer or employee shall intentionally perform any prohibited political activity during any compensated time as defined herein. No officer or employee shall intentionally use any property or resources of the City of Geneva in connection with any prohibited political activity, including use or display of the officer's or employee's title or city uniform or equipment. Thus, managing or working on a campaign for elective office is a prohibited political activity if it is intentionally done, number one, during compensated time, number two, using city property or resources and/or number three in connection with display of the officer's title. Compensated time. The city code defines compensated time for officers who do not have fixed hours to include any period of time when the officer is on the premises under the control of the city and any other time when the officer is executing his or her official duties regardless of the location. Thus, an elected official should not engage in a prohibited political activity when he is on the premises of city-owned property or while executing his duties of office. Duties of the ethics officer. The duties of the ethics officer of the city are defined in section 1-6H-5. Subsection B states that the ethics advisor shall provide guidance to the officers and employees of the city concerning the interpretation of and compliance with the provisions of this article and state ethics laws. It should be noted that the ethics advisor is not given enforcement authority or directive. The duty is to advise the city officers and employees concerning the interpretation of and compliance with the ethics laws. Duties of the City Ethics Commission. I understand that some aldermen have inquired what the City Council should or must do in light of the accusations that have been made in the media and in response to the constituents. As the ethics advisor, you should advise the council members that authority to investigate violations and enforce the ethics ordinance is addressed in section 1-6H-6D of the City Code. That section authorizes and empowers the Ethics Commission to investigate, conduct hearings, deliberate, and issue recommendations and/or refer violations to the appropriate attorney for prosecution upon receipt of a signed, notarized, written complaint. Thus, the jurisdiction for handling ethics matters has been given to the Ethics Commission. The City Council does not have the power or the duty to police ethics issues. I believe that one reason for the state law and the city code are written that way is to avoid ethics issues from being influenced too much by politics. Instead of giving the authority to the governing body, the power is given to a separate independent body. The Ethics Commission's authority and duties are also expressly stated in Section 1-6H-6, subsection D2, which provides that the Ethics Commission's duty and power to act is triggered by the receipt of a signed, notarized, written complaint. Upon receipt of a complaint, the Ethics Commission has the duty and power to investigate, conduct hearings and deliberations, issue recommendations for disciplinary actions, impose fines, and refer certain violations for prosecution. The Ethics Commission's power and duty, however, is limited. The Ethics Commission does not have the authority to act on its own prerogative. It may only act upon the receipt of a signed, notarized, written complaint alleging a violation of the law. The appropriate city response. As the ethics officer, I understand that you have and are doing what you are obligated to do, which is to provide guidance to the officers and employees of the city concerning the interpretation of and compliance with the ethics laws. The Ethics Commission must convene, investigate, conduct hearings, and make determinations if formal complaints are filed. The City Council, individual council members, officers, and employees of the city should strive to understand the ethics laws and be careful to observe them. That means not engaging in political campaigning on city time or on city property or with city funds or city resources. Beyond that, there is no formal action for the city to take. Opinion. Finally, I understand an opinion has been requested of you whether the ethics laws have been violated in this instance. As noted above, prohibited political activities are defined in the city code. Prohibited political activity is considered a violation of the ethics laws if it is intentional. The authority to make such a determination resides in the Ethics Commission, and then only after receiving a formal complaint followed by an investigation and a hearing. The ethics advisor does not have the authority to make an ethics determination, and it would not be appropriate to give such an opinion. state election law. Finally, political activity may implicate the State Election Interference Prohibition Act, Section 9-25(1), and that act provides, among other things, that no public funds shall be used to urge any elector to vote for or against any candidate or proposition, or be appropriated for political or campaign purposes to any candidate or political organization. The act does not include a local enforcement mechanism. I understand that a state election official has commented publicly on the matter and has indicated that any use of funds was de minimis. There apparently is no intention to pursue the matter. If anyone feels that a more formal determination should be made, they would need to file a verified complaint with the State Election Board. I hope that helps. If you need any clarification, please let me know. Sincerely, Kevin G. Drendel. Thank you.
If it makes people comfortable, I'll be happy to defer to the Mayor Pro Tem if he wants to ask if there's any questions or comments or have you.
Are we at the dais? Do we have questions? Comments? No. Anybody in the audience? Okay. Thank you very much.
I do have copies of the letter. If anyone would like a copy of it.
May I enter a statement if no one objects?
No objection.
Mayor Pro Tem? Ladies and gentlemen of the council, citizens of Geneva, business leaders of Geneva, I apologize for the distraction that I have caused as a result of my campaign email account defaulting to my city email account, which has become the topic of a handful of people in the last few weeks. The explanation I provided when the news first broke and was brought to my attention, as you all know, and to the attention of the public via a hastily put together press event by a resident of Henry County and paid consultant of the candidate who is challenging me, is simple and straightforward. As I have stated then and state now, emails intended for my private consumption defaulted to my city account, and I compounded that error by responding before reviewing which account I was responding from. Obviously, and without equivocation, I made a mistake. The moment I was made aware of this situation, I took the appropriate action to correct the mistake, and that error has not occurred since. In addition, and in the spirit of full transparency, a print job for my campaign literature also mistakenly included my city cell phone number instead of my private phone number. The materials were destroyed, but some were indeed circulated. When and if I receive phone calls on my city phone, I advise the caller to either call me back on my private line or I return their call from my private phone should politics be the topic. Again, an honest mistake that has been corrected and resolved. But it's important, I believe, to fully understand the context of this issue so that the full impact can be weighed, appreciated, and understood. The original Freedom of Information request made by the gentleman referred to earlier included the following: 4 years of city-issued credit card receipts, 4 years of reimbursements for my city-related travel, 4 years of emails dating from 2008 to current, 4 years of phone records dating from 2008 to current. Now, it's important to note, I don't have a city credit card, so there was nothing to provide. Number two, there were no reimbursements. Number three, the emails out of some 116 pages provided, it accounted for a total of approximately 16 emails. They were strings that I continued to respond to, hence the compounding of the error. Again, I made a mistake. The phone records totaled some 400 plus pages. In all, staff spent well over 6 hours to provide all this information, and they did their job as they were expected and as all of us expect them to do, despite how awkward it might have been. As you all know, my aim to be accessible virtually 24/7 means that I can be and often am reached no matter where I am and what time of day it is. In all, The City of Geneva staff, at taxpayers' expenses, as a reminder, spent well over 6 hours collecting this information. The staff carried out their professional duty perfectly. I have spoken to many of you privately about the error I made and have spoken with many citizens and the media about the same. I made a mistake. The mistake was corrected, and I have benefited from this lesson. I thank you all for allowing me to address this issue tonight. It is, in my opinion, now time to move beyond this issue, beyond this distraction, and return full time to the work we were all elected to do. Thank you.
Craig, take more.
I just wanted to say thank you.
Certainly. Thank you.
As simple as that.
I apologize as well for the embarrassment I may have caused this body.
All right. Mr. McQuillan.
Can I respond?
Please come up to the mic.
My name is Bob McQuillan, 2677 Berkshire Drive, Geneva, Illinois. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for apologizing to the residents of Geneva.
You're welcome.
You've admitted you made a mistake.
Yes, sir.
And I think that if you've done that in your first comments about the FOIA request, the people would have understood and moved on.
But I did, sir.
No, you said it was a snafu. You didn't apologize. You never apologized and admitted you made a mistake.
Fair enough.
We should move on. I agree. But it's not your decision to move on. It's the decision of the residents or if someone would like to file a complaint. And am I under the understanding that according to the City Council, this issue is finished, according to the alderman?
According to legal counsel, unless somebody files a complaint, there is nothing for us to do or nothing within our power to do.
Okay. That's good. Thank you.
Okay. I think we're finished.
Motion to adjourn the city council meeting would be in order.
So move.
Motion by the birthday boy, seconded by, was it Hill?
I'll take it.
All in favor, please say aye.
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 We will take all but a minute to switch gears to our committee of the whole meeting, correct? Ladies and gentlemen, with your permission, we'll resume the special, or we'll begin, I should say, the special committee of the whole meeting, which is really the meat of tonight. Mrs. McKittrick, our city administrator, is going to present a number of budgets for our consumption this evening. As always, we'll hold off questions till after the presentation. Then Mrs. McKittrick is going to join us back at the dais because she has what do I call that thing?
Notes.
Notes?
Notes, yeah.
Cliff's notes?
I wouldn't call it
She can better present. And, of course, our department heads are with us this evening, and you can tell by the smiles on their faces. Look at that. Dinges and Van Gescom are dressed alike. That's awesome, man.
Uniform.
Did you? We call the meeting to order. Let the record show that all the aldermen, save for Alderman Vogelsberg, are present this evening. And we shall begin without any additional delay. Mrs. McKittrick, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, Mayor and City Council. This evening I present to you the proposed budgets for the General Fund, the Electric Fund, the Water and Wastewater Fund, and the related capital budgets, 14 in all. You will recall that during the budget presentation last year, I talked about good governance, the difficult job of balancing competing interests, the fundamental challenge of sustaining economic and fiscal impacts, and the duty to provide efficient and effective services to our citizens. This year, my focus in presenting the 14 remaining budgets of the 36 is a theme of living within our means. The premise of living within our means is incorporated into our budgets, our strategic goals, our organizational culture, and in our governance. Living within our means embraces the concepts of protecting the interests of citizens and promoting business activity, prioritizing and emphasizing programs and services that are reflective of the long-range strategic plan for the community established by the City Council, building consensus among decision makers on the existence and importance of community values, requiring process transparency, focusing on specific financial and budgetary policies adopted by the Council, insisting on the fundamentals of accountability, the pursuit of efficiency, and the necessity of effectiveness, balancing the gradual and immediate needs of the community, acknowledging and concentrating on decisions that positively impact the common good, and ultimately speaking with one voice when public policymaking votes are tallied. The message of living within our means is rooted in the budgets that have been prepared with the goal of balancing the resources provided by our community against the demand for services, programs, and projects, while keeping fees and charges within adequate and responsible levels, and ensuring that the city's policymaking is sufficient to allow economic growth and social stability. As a result of the public policy principles and strategies established by this City Council, as well as the hard work of a dedicated staff, a balanced budget is presented to you this evening for the 2012-13 fiscal year that demonstrates the City's ability to live within its means. The agenda for this evening includes the following: managing the challenges, the budget schedule, the summary of our major funds, revenue summary, expenditure summary, workforce planning, and then highlighting the individual department budgets. Managing the challenges. First, we are dealing continually, as you know, as I continually remind everyone, about our federal and state mandates and constraints. National and regional economic conditions obviously also play a role. Collective bargaining outcomes and obligations. Declines in equalized assessed values. Overall, this year, this past year, there was a decline of 4.5%, or more than $46 million. The downtown alone saw a decline of over 15% in our EAV, or over $8 million. Declines and delays in state shared revenues have also been a challenge for us, and our customer service response level is continually a challenge when associated with our reduced workforce. The rising costs of health care this year, we are projecting they are up 10%. The rising fuel costs, up 10% at least. That's going into the budget. We know that it'll likely be at least that much. Rising liability insurance costs, this budget reflects a 5% increase. Rising dental insurance, a 3% increase. Workers' compensation costs are up an average of 5%. Power costs, those are up 12%. And we still have a moderately high debt level of about $61 million. We have approached the budget with best practices in mind to restructure our accounts and funds to align them with the specific purpose of each account. We've combined line items to reduce or eliminate data entry errors. We are allocating the liability, legal, and some common expenditures to an internal service account for better tracking purposes. We've changed allocations annually to accurately reflect work being performed and the impact on the specific fund. For example, tax increment financing, that is one of those that changes every year depending on what our projects are and who's going to be sharing the workload. And we're allocating IMRF, workers' compensation, and FICA to the respective departments, which we have not done in the past. But we feel that this is more appropriate so we can get a better handle on the costs for each individual fund and department. Our budget schedule started in November of last year, and hopefully a recommendation this evening. We'll move it to our public hearing on April 16th. The total of all funds together, all 36 budgets, total $73,275,060. And listed on the left are the different funds and the respective amounts. The summary of the general fund, you'll see that the proposed 2012-13 revenues, $15,224,400, and expenditures at $15,175,700, with a surplus of $48,700. For the general fund, which is our considered to be one of our major fund because that encompasses all of our or most of our departments with the exception of electric and water divisions in public works. General fund revenues are down 0.7%. General fund expenditures are down 0.3%. And I'm using the amended budget numbers to compare the proposed budget to the currently amended budget. That's the most accurate number that we have at this point. Those amendments that have come before the City Council that the City Council has approved. So those are the comparison numbers that I'm using. The general fund balance is up 1.3%, which gets us to 26% of the general fund operating budget, or 95 days. And you recall that our goal set several years ago was to have 25% of the operating budget or 90 days. So, woohoo, we finally made it. Our sales taxes were projecting at 1.5% increase, and that's based on a trend line that we're seeing right now. Income taxes, we went with a more conservative number per capita, $79.39, as opposed to the $80.20 per capita that the IML recommended, and that's what we've been doing the last few years. We prefer to approach it conservatively. General fund revenues, this is a breakdown of the revenues and primarily where they come from, and as you can see, the bulk of our general fund revenues come from sales taxes. Expenditures, and you can see by looking at the chart that the bulk of our expenditures go to our public safety departments. Our capital improvement program this year has increased from $7.7 million to $8.1 million, And the breakdown is as shown there. All of these funds, the general capital, the infrastructure capital, which is our non-referendum or non-home rule referendum sales tax funds, combined with motor fuel tax, commuter parking, and TIF funds, makes up the total of our capital improvement program for this upcoming year. Regarding workforce planning, following the strategic plan for 2017 and the vision and goal of maintaining a standard of excellence for city personnel through retention and recruitment policies and practices, we have over the past several years reduced our workforce. In 2010-11, we had 9 vacant positions. This current fiscal year, we have 11 vacant positions, and I think that you'll recall that Stephanie provided a presentation on our policy meeting in January and gave you a breakdown on that. And we are proposing an additional 2.5 vacant positions for a total of 14.5 for the upcoming fiscal year. And that would include a retirement in electric, 2 layoffs, 1 in cemetery and 1 in engineering, and 1 reclassification in community development from full-time to part-time. In 2006-07, we had 176 full-time employees, and that was including 20 from TRICOM. We are proposing in 2012-13, 162 full-time employees, 20 of which are with TRICOM. And we would still propose to keep our general hiring freeze in place. Furloughs that we instituted back in 2009, voluntary furloughs for this year, the upcoming year, $1,660, I'm sorry, the current fiscal year. Voluntary since 2009-10, we've seen a savings of $30,570 and a electric union concession, which totaled $15,260, all of those through furloughs. In addition, we had a fire union concession where $22,375 was saved because of the delay of an additional 1.75% contractual wage increase. There was we have instituted a reduction in non-emergency overtime over the last 4 years, no education reimbursement, limited professional development, and no overnight travel unless necessary. This year we are proposing a 0, 1, or maximum 2% merit-based wage increase for non-union employees. As you know, it's not an automatic. It's based on performance score for the past 12 months of work. The city's adopted compensation plan includes annual comparable community market survey, and this year the average came in at 2%. The market survey that was conducted is with 25 different communities that we've been using for the past 8 years or so, 6 years, I believe, actually. And the average came in at 2%, the medium was 2%, and the mode was 2%. We did have one respondent with 0%, and that was Roselle. The 2% wage increase impact on budgets. The general fund is actually a minus $59,590. On our miscellaneous fund, it's actually a minus $39,505. Electric, a minus $61,110. Water, wastewater, a minus $1,455. If you break it down between union and non-union, the union impact is $95,310. The non-union is a minus $161,660. And the reason primarily for those minuses is because of the vacancies that we've had and that we expect to have going into the new year. Looking at highlighting our departments, I'll start with Administrative Services Department, just touch on a couple of things that they wanted me to convey to you. Administrative Services, which Stephanie oversees as department head, they have consolidated general service items from all of the general fund departments to Administrative Services Department, including legal, liability insurance, claims, copier, lease, landline, city hall postage machine. We've basically allocated those into an internal service account so that we can track them better. For example, all of the general fund departments had a legal line item, and we decided to put them in an internal service account so that all of the legal costs, expenditures, go into that line item so that we can look in one place rather than trying to track them down in several different departments. They are proposing to increase the hours of the payroll specialist from 600 hours per year to 800 hours per year in an effort to assist with the software conversion for payroll and human resources. And they've included $2,000 for the employee health and benefits fair. City Administrator's Office. I'm proposing in the goals listed that you have before you to oversee an internal audit and update internal financial policies, to coordinate the update of the strategic plan. You'll recall that that was a top priority when we met in November. Work with a consultant to administer a staffing analysis and manage the update of the city's website. It's been about 8 years or so, I believe, since we last updated the city website. To also provide professional development training for senior management staff, I'd like to bring in an outside training consultant to provide some capital programming training as well as ethics professional development. I'm also proposing to work with staff and a consultant to upgrade the City Hall landscaping. We actually have an opportunity for donated landscaping in front of City Hall. I know that that'll make the mayor happy. He's been wanting to rip out those bushes for years. And also complete the planning and hold the City Hall Centennial Celebration event on May 19th, 2012. In the Community Development Department, they're proposing to implement the New World software for online permits, to convert building inspection process from paper to the use of iPads, to formulate proposed amendments to the zoning ordinance resulting from the downtown master plan recommendations, to update property data in the Geneva Historic District, to update National Park Service certification for the historic district's listing with the National Register of Historic Places, which also expands the eligibility for tax credits, and work with Public Works, the Bike Ped Committee, and Cultural Arts Commission to implement a bike plus rack equals sculpture program. And I just found a picture from Roanoke, Virginia, where they had this type of program. And it's quite unique, the types of bike racks that they come up with. And this is just an example of one. In economic development, they are proposing to investigate the reestablishment of the downtown business district as directed by the council, to investigate the feasibility of a State Street tax increment finance district expansion. Right now, it's on the east side, as you know, and they want to look in just to investigate the potential to bring it closer to the river, a little bit further west. They also want to investigate the feasibility of the southeast establishment of a TIF district and implement the Geneva Business Directory mobile phone application. This was something that was, for those of you that were at the listening session the other night with the 1st and 5th Wards, that was something that was mentioned there, but something we had been planning on doing as well. The Engineering Division of Public Works, they will be overseeing the third level of the commuter parking deck, assuming that the grant comes through this year. We're still being told that it's it should be no problem, so we are budgeting. We're proposing to budget again for that this upcoming year. The additional level will add a projected 180 parking spaces, and they will, as always, again, oversee the annual street program. They are proposing also to replace the floor scrubber, and that's a picture of one, to clean all Public Works floors. Right now, as I understand it, it's on its last leg. The fire department is proposing to complete the FCC-mandated change in radio frequency used for activating the weather alerting sirens and communication by ESDA, implement the use of iPads for inspection work to reduce paper reports and the time needed to track violations and maintain the department database. They've also applied for a grant, and if awarded, the department will host classes for swift water rescue involving incidents in the Fox River. And they will assist with research for possible revisions to the intergovernmental agreement for the operation of TRICOM. The legislative budget, these funds are used for the City Council stipends and legislative-related costs such as Metro West Council of Government and the annual strategic planning event. The city store is an account in the legislative budget, and that's one of the items, as you know, that we sell in our city store merchandise. It also includes the fire and police commission line item in the legislative budget. The police department will develop and maintain a departmental Facebook page in addition to the city's Facebook page to maximize the benefit of using social networking to enhance communication efforts. Participation in the, they will participate in the planning and execution of a full-scale mutual aid critical incident exercise involving the fire department, the school district, and others. And they are proposing to acquire and utilize a digital speed display unit to aid the police department in addressing speeding concerns throughout the community. The Streets and Fleets Division of Public Works, they will continue to work on the EAB removal and replacement program. They will remove the damaged trees, continue the 50-50 tree replacement program, and include a fall tree planting. The spring planting is in this year's fiscal budget. They're also proposing that the State Street brick ribbons along the sidewalk be replaced with clay bricks. They are proposing to start at State and 3rd and continue eastward, and this would be a multi-year program. Electric fund revenue. This is a graph showing that the bulk of the electric sales coming from customers accounts for the electric fund revenue. Expenditures. Most of the expenditures are to purchase that power to resell to customers, 69%. The Electric Division of Public Works is looking to implement year 8 of the Underground Cable Replacement Program. And if there is a potential future annexation of the Kane County Judicial Center, they're looking at a connection between Peck Road and the Water Treatment Facility and Caneville Road, and a connection from Kesslinger Substation South into Sterling Manor. They're looking to do electric work at Fabian Parkway from Route 31 to Nagel Boulevard due to the county planned road widening work there. And they're planning to install a 30-inch casing pipe at Route 38 and Couts Overpass to accommodate a future electric and fiber optic crossing of Route 38. And they also have a project to remove two utility poles at the intersection of 31 and Peck Road. And this is just pictorial of the projects and the locations where those are proposed for 2012-2013. Water and wastewater. This is a graph of the revenues as they are received, and you can see the bulk of the revenue, 60%, comes from the sale of water. Expenditures. Most of the expenditures in water and wastewater fund goes for debt service. The Water and Wastewater Division of Public Works is proposing to reduce the number of sanitary sewer overflows within the city by installing sanitary sewer lining and replacing a section of sanitary sewer between Sherman and Caneville to correct a severe dip in the line. They're also proposing to paint water towers at Kirk, which was done in 1994, and Logan Avenue, which was done last in 1997. According to the most recent financial audit and bond rating review, Geneva is on a financially sound track. We're paying down our debt. It's right now at $61 million, a little over $61 million. and we're building reserves in accordance with best practices and adopted policies by this city council, which, as I mentioned before, has been a goal for the past several years to reach a threshold of 25% or 90 days minimum of their general fund operating fund. We are continually monitoring revenues and expenditures and adjusting accordingly. The proposed budget, which is a business plan for the upcoming fiscal year, responds appropriately and adequately to the current economic conditions. The plan retains core services for residents and businesses. It recognizes employees who provide excellent customer service. And we have a budget, finally, that lives within our means, which has been accomplished through a series of fiscally conservative choices and good governance by the City Council. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mary. We're going to give Mrs. McKittrick a chance to return to her comfy chair. Mr. Dinges can hit the lights. That'd be awesome. And since we have so much, or since we've covered so much, if nobody objects, we can just have a nice free-flowing discussion. If you want a motion to do, should we suspend the rules, Mary? Just go for it, since it's committee. Motion to suspend the rules. Motion by Marks, seconded by Singer.
Birthday boy.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Great. Have at it. And, of course, the audience, obviously, we'd love you to participate. Our department heads and the men and women who carry out the duties of the city every day are here to help explain, edify, all that good stuff. And, of course, our champion tweeter, Pam Broviak, is also here.
Mary, there's no new staff in here, no new hires at all planned in this budget, are there? I didn't think so. Okay.
That's correct.
And Dan, with the water tower painting, you know, over by the high school, they actually have that Geneva Vikings. Is that paid for by the school, or does the city end up picking up that additional cost? Do you know?
Yeah, we've actually received a $1 million offer from Batavia to put the Bulldogs up there.
You know, I might consider even accepting
that. I think that.
I don't think so.
It's to be determined. Right now, we're trying to get prices on what the added cost is, and I think we would approach the school district, and we also have been talking to Fifth Third Bank and the Cougars for the Kirk Road Tower to see if there's any benefits in that for us to save money.
Okay. Thank you.
Why do you only want to have questions?
A lot of numbers here to absorb.
A lot of numbers.
These budgets we'll take the final vote on these next week?
April 16th.
April 16th.
April 16th. Yeah. Okay.
Right after you pay your tax.
Too late then.
That's right.
I just have a question. Now that on the fall tree planting, I know it's a small item, but are we still going to have the resident share in a 50-50 program? Is that I missed that, if we were doing that or not.
Yes, the 50-50 program will stay in effect for the foreseeable future.
Okay, so it's not going to change?
No.
Okay. Somebody asked me that.
Some of the trees we plant are not in front of residences, so.
Correct. The ones that are on city property, property that's not directly attached to a resident or something like that, on a pond or something like that, that's being funded through the city. But all the other trees right now would be a 50-50 program, and we actually have filled the commitment for our spring planting, and now we have a form online that people can go to, and we'll continue to, and provided there's a demand for a fall planting, then we would plan on doing a fall planting as well.
Does that apply to businesses as well?
Yes. Well, it depends on where it's at.
If it's outside of SSA number one?
Yes. Because like on 3rd Street, we felt that the city has already spent, when we did the 3rd Street project, we put in a lot of those trees. So if those were ash and we removed them, we're putting those back in.
A different tree.
Right.
Dan, so if someone wants a tree replaced, they really have to contact the city? Or, I mean, there were some citizens that had their trees removed before we put the policy in, and I know we said anything going forward that was going to be the case, but
you know, some of them were on a schedule, I believe, to have trees replaced. So what's happening at that point?
We sent letters to all those residents
okay.
offering the 50-50 program.
What are we doing? I mean, I've had a number of people ask me, and I'm not sure, in especially in Sterling Manor and probably Ward 2 more than anything, Inglewood and something. You know, there's a number of houses that are on corner lots that have three and four trees. I mean, are they going to have to be paying the 50-50 for each one of those trees? Or since that's, you know, a little bit of a higher cost, is the city going to do something else with that? I mean, there are a number of lots that, because they have two sides, have three to four trees or five. I counted a few of them on my way in tonight.
The way we've been treating it, it's a 50-50 program. They do not have to purchase replacement trees. But for right now, with the limited funds that we have, we're offering trees to the people that provide 50%. We actually have had some people pay 100% to be on the top of that list. But right now, everything is at the 50-50 program. That would be a council decision if they want
to. Yeah, I think we may need to look at that, actually, at some point.
And I just wanted to add, too, that in the street division budget, there's a line item of $38,000 for tree replacement. Right. And then in the capital, there's an additional $28,000 that we're proposing to put toward tree replacement.
Oh, and that's for the capital, from the capital fund.
Mm-hmm.
That's for the fall planting.
Right.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Correct.
I mean, at some point, we may need to take a look at that. I mean, it seems that all of those trees in some places, I've seen them, they've all come down. They were all ashes, four in a row ashes. That I think that's quite a burden to ask of all of the citizens to pick up. We may want to look at that at some point.
So shifting gears from trees for a minute, the way I go through this thing is I just kind of glance through line by line looking at big percentage changes. For the most part, it all looks pretty good. I didn't see anything that jumped out at me except, where'd he go? In the fleet's budget, under miscellaneous contractual, where we've had nothing in previous years, we now have $15,000 a year from this year forward. What's that for?
What is being proposed there is outsourcing a portion of the fleet preventative maintenance. What we're proposing for this initial trial is to outsource police, fire, all vehicles outside of public works. Their preventative maintenance, the oil change, all that stuff would go to a private company for that type of work to help relieve our mechanics. With the equipment being kept longer, it's requiring more maintenance on them. Therefore, they're getting bogged down on that stuff and not being able to keep up with preventative maintenance. So what I'm proposing is to be able to try to keep up on that preventative maintenance, outsourcing a portion of it.
Ms. Kittredge, there wasn't a mention, and possibly it might rear its head once our deck becomes complete, as to the extension of the rail line that's going to be coming through our community.
The third track.
I'm sorry?
The third track.
The third, yes. Where is that moving? Has it been moved?
No, that's an excellent question. Right now, everything is pushed back. We don't have a schedule other than it was our understanding that they were going to start looking at engineering last year and possibly mm-hmm. construction this year. And all that they've said is that it's pushed back because of lack of funding. Mm-hmm. So at this point, we've not received really any specific dates. Dan and I speculated that the grant for deck actually got delayed mm-hmm. because they were in no hurry to do the third track project.
Mm, I see.
Right. My understanding is they're working on the third. There's a few other sections going closer into city of Chicago, and they're working on those first, and then ours would follow. But they didn't really give us a time frame.
Will we get covered full price for that?
For the parking deck?
No, for the third rail, do we have any expense
on
that?
No cost for us.
Okay.
Except
for the loss of parking.
We will lose parking spaces.
That one, yeah, I knew about, but I couldn't recall if there was any other expenses
We've been told that it's all on their property, that there's no acquisition.
Yeah.
Through our town.
I have a question for the electric department.
Mm-hmm. May I ask a question about Dan?
I have questions for you, Dan, but that's okay.
What about a bridge? Are they going to put a bridge in for another rail line there? Or is it just going to stay?
They're going to use the bridge that's there.
Oh, okay. So we'll still only have two tracks going across the river.
Well, they'll add a third, as I understand it, but they'll use the existing structure.
I see. Okay.
Over 31, built to accommodate.
Good. I'm not sure how appropriate the question is I'm about to ask you, but I've been inundated, as well as I'm sure a great many of our constituents, and getting calls even yet today regarding a movement by companies out there who are offering citizens a means of cheaper electricity. And they don't seem to understand that we cannot go that way. Would you please explain that issue a little more thoroughly for us?
The Illinois legislature back in 1990 established a code where large companies could seek alternative energies in relationship to the Amerins and the ComEd. The municipal utilities and the co-ops are not affected by this legislation. And as it continued, the legislation tweaked it year after year until now they can add residents, or residents can combine within the city and get cheaper utilities. And when I say utilities, it's just for the electric power. It's not for the distribution. It's not for the transmission. It's not for the capacity. It's just for the electron. Last year, we looked at our rates, and we looked at our rates coming up this year. This is Geneva. We're at or below those rates. What makes it an advantage to these people is we have a recession of rates going on right now within the state, within the United States, where all the costs have dropped drastically. And within the state of Illinois, that has allowed vendors to go out and purchase that rate and make a profit in there and offer it. But right now, we are at or below everybody.
Thank you for that, sir.
You're welcome.
I had at one time thought that because we didn't sell outside of the or offer electricity outside, that people couldn't, within the area, couldn't take advantage of these outside sources.
That's two different laws.
Oh, okay.
One is the alternative rate law or energy law, and what you're talking about is a territorial law.
Okay.
And as a territorial law, as long as we stay within the city limits,
right,
and then nobody can come into the city limits and cherry pick off our hospital or our factories.
They still call your house, though. I've had several calls.
Well, right now what we're doing is working with the IMUA, and the IMUA is as a group, of which we are one of that group, are working with these people to stop some of this.
Is it still legal for someone in Geneva to accept that offer?
Hmm. No, it's not.
It's not, so they should not. The phone call is just plain wrong because they have no right to sell power within our city limits.
That is correct.
Thank you.
I have a question. Are we putting money aside for our downstate project? Somehow or some way, or
we have a purchase power agreement with NIPA.
Uh-huh.
And with NIPA, there's money put aside for that project.
Okay, so it's being taken care of.
Yes.
Okay.
And the power is coming online.
Well, right now, to give you an idea of what's going on with the project, like all projects, you work the bugs out, and we've done it for the boiler and the generators and working in through the pollution control equipment, and I don't have a date. But fortunately, what's going on is the power costs are so low to date that there's no effect on Geneva.
Good.
question, computer software, not for probably for Mary or whoever.
Nice job.
Stephanie,
nice job.
Is that being implemented in new software now, or is there any overtime anticipated with any possible problems?
Did you say any overtime? I'm sorry.
Well, do we anticipate any problems with that software?
No, we've actually just started implementing the finance module. If you'll recall, we have four different modules.
Mm-hmm.
We've just started the finance module earlier this month. We spent about two weeks ago, working on getting the chart of accounts set up. We started today working on the purchase orders and the accounts payable part of the system. We look at the finance module going live in June. We'll start working on the HR module at the end of April. The HR and payroll will go live October 1st. Then we'll start the utility billing and community development, and both of those will end up going live early spring of 2013. But as far as we know right now, we're on track with the training hours that they have. We're part of the contract. We're actually under a few hours, so things are moving along, and we hope it continues that way.
Good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Related to that, my experience is that technology, or often technology has to be computer technology has to be enhanced to deal with some of these programming changes. Are we anticipating anything in F-13 as it relates to that?
No. We're currently working, and Pete may come out of the closet if I misspeak, but we're currently, one of the things, by going with New World, we were able to partner with Kane County, and we use their servers and their equipment and some of their know-how. So we don't have any of that on site, and the rest of the software is done through a web browser. Mm-hmm. And then our maintenance fees that we pay annually covers any upgrades or any changes to the software. So that's already included in our maintenance agreement.
And that happens every year?
Every year. Well, the upgrades, they said they
the
put
upgrades,
out,
I mean,
they put out like one big upgrade once or twice a year, and then there's little fixes throughout the year. But again, that's already included in our maintenance costs.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I had a technology-related question to telephones. I know at our house we replaced our landline with voice over IP, and
I'm
going to
ask Pete
question.
To come out of the closet.
Yeah, Pete's got to come out of the closet for that.
I mean, out of the back room.
Landline versus voice over IP for city telephone. I know at my house, I know it's obviously a very different system. We saved about 75, maybe 80% of the cost of a landline. I saw in the numbers that we spend roughly $55,000 to $60,000 a year on telephone. I thought.
I think that probably includes also the cell bills on that end of things as well. But we already are. Our system is a voice over IP system already. We share all city lines. They actually all trunk back over to across the street in public safety, where we split the T1 between all of them. So actually, we pay for 24 lines. We use somewhere in the area of 90. So they allocate as needed. So we made that move a couple years back.
Thank you.
And the telephone line items do include cell phones. So the numbers that you see, Tom went through and made sure that we were budgeting exactly what we're paying, because the phones had been previously kind of all over the place, so now they're more grouped where they belong.
I thought I saw an item here for a new telephone system or something like that. What was that for, if I may ask?
Sure. You may recall when we put in the system shortly after we put in the fiber. That would be about 2004.
I got it.
We're not swapping out the phones. We're basically just swapping out the servers in the back end. I mean, that's really what I've milked them for as long as I can, and now they're ready to go.
Okay.
Surprised you can still get maintenance on the equipment.
That's one of the reasons why we're getting rid of them.
And just out of curiosity, who are you?
I'm the guy in the back room. In the back room.
I've never seen you before.
Wizard Oz.
He makes it all happen.
He does. I know. It's amazing.
Yes, it is.
Anything else while I'm here?
Well, there's smoke coming out of your office.
Mr. Singer, happy birthday.
No, I didn't see you today. I figured you would come by today.
It was his birthday.
We were waiting for you. We had cake.
It was good.
Gone now. Now it's gone.
Justin and I ate it about 9:00.
Thanks, Peter.
Two cupcakes.
Mary, just a couple of quick questions. I think you can, you know, in the capital request, the Anderson Boulevard resurfacing, that $156,000, that's just a carryover. Is that correct? I mean, that work is done. That's just to pay the bill. It just hasn't come in yet. That's what I thought. And Dan, if I could bother you one more time, the phase two on the I guess I don't understand what phase two is designed for the East State Street project. What is phase two for $400,000?
Phase two is the actual design engineering for the project. Okay. The $400,000 budget is actually only a portion, because it'll be a multi-year design with future construction funding, which we call phase three, would be construction. We're hoping IDOT will program this project for construction and that they would actually build it.
So does IDOT pick up some of this? Is this just our share of the cost and IDOT does all the designing, or are we doing that engineering in-house?
We're not doing it in-house. We're going to be bringing a contract forward with a consultant. Okay. That we're currently going through the RFQ process. As far as IDOT paying for it, at this time, no. But we're going to be leaning on them to fund the construction, which is in excess of $15 million. Wow. We're expecting the design will actually be probably in excess of $1 million when it's all said and done.
Okay. All right. Maybe you can answer this question, otherwise it might be Bob. I assume that the water budget is probably still a little bit, I would say, in the infancy stages due to the consultants coming in. I just wondered if we had an update on that, roughly. Have they started that project? And
We actually last week had a meeting with a kickoff meeting with the consultant, went through all the data that they're looking for. Bob has been working with them to get them all the information, and Tom's been involved. They're going to start crunching numbers, and we will have workshops with the council. I think our first one we're actually looking for is the fifth Monday in April. So we're hoping to be able to present the initial findings and start talking about rate structures and all that stuff coming up in a month and a half or so.
So based on that, then, everything's going to stay status quo in the water fund until?
Right now, I think what we're proposing is, if you recall, last year we had I think we were in year two of a three-year implementation, and we're looking at implementing that third year this year, but then we would go through and adjust it based on the rate studies proposed to be done around June, July. So at that point, we would evaluate, see what the recommendations are from the consultant on the rate study, see what type of restructuring is necessary, and it'd be up to you to implement the recommendation.
Thank you.
I had a question on tree removal. You feel our budget is sufficient to deal with additional ash trees dying in the community, and we're going to keep pace. Obviously, we did some triage last year to try to get caught up. You feel we have the resourcing in this budget to meet what we anticipate this summer and fall with additional trees dying? Primarily, that's my concern, is dealing with those dead trees.
Right. As you know, we had Winkler in, mm-hmm. and they were able to take care of what we call the hazardous trees. We've had them do the largest trees, the trees in the wires, and they did an excellent job. And we're at a point now where our crews can handle majority of the remaining trees. We're about halfway, probably, of the 2,800 trees. We're about halfway at this point, so we still will be removing trees for the next several years. But we feel that the trees that are there, there's smaller ones. We're going to try to make sure we address the larger ones that are dead and may be a hazard. But our crews will continue to remove trees as we find them and as we get calls.
Where do you think we are right now? Do you think we're in a deficit yet? I mean, you've still got a lot of dead trees in Geneva that are in the process of dying. Do you think you really feel we can keep pace then with our own crew, and that do you have any kind of projection as to what your target or goal might be for F-13 as it relates to tree removal? Are we looking at 400 trees, 500?
I would say in that range.
Okay.
The good thing is the smaller trees go quick.
Right.
So we can
Understood.
We can get a bunch of those taken care of, but the hazardous ones are the bigger ones that take mm-hmm. a little bit more time. So we're going to kind of mix it up between that. But, yeah, I would say our goal would be in that range of 400 to 500 so that in the next few years we would have a pretty good grasp on the emerald ash borer. And as you know, the tree replacement program is going to be lagging, but we're
right.
going to at least with this year's capital boost help get those back in. We can remove them a lot quicker than we can plant them.
Right. Good. Thanks, Dan. I had a question on our debt service, and obviously we found some savings with the restructuring last year. Mary, any thoughts on where we're at? Do you anticipate there might be some opportunities again in F-13?
Frankly, I don't. We do have a fund balance of about $370,000 in our debt service fund. That, I think, could be, again, as I spoke about that last week, we need to do some further investigation, but we do believe that we can apply that toward debt. We're just not sure if we can choose which debt or if it has to be specific debt. But at this point, our research has not provided an indication of which specific debt that might be. Beyond that, I would say that there's not a lot of opportunity to pay down the debt further. There's just not a lot of extra funds to do that.
But in terms of refunding, there is an opportunity in the fall, I think, for some refunding of some of the electric bonds.
Yep.
So if you're thinking of that, that's
both,
yeah. As far as some of the debt reserves that we have in the debt service fund, we can talk about abating some more of the taxes next year in December when we come back for the 2011 property taxes, so maybe we can apply some of that towards that. But we will have some more refunding opportunities in the fall.
This year presented a few challenges. Didn't we see some more of a spike in our payment structure or our bond? The way they were issued or structured,
yeah,
we saw a spike over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's gone up. They when debt's been issued over the past 10 years or so, they try to wrap it around some of the existing debt. I think it's pretty level, if I remember correctly. I mean, there is some dips and you know, and peaks, but
F-13 does have somewhat of a peak.
Peak, yeah, right.
And we do have some individual debt payments coming up that I know that Alderman Marks and I have talked about where there's a balloon payment coming forth in the near future. But again, we do have the reserve,
yeah, we do.
You know, in debt service that we think that we could probably cover that and apply elsewhere as well. So,
for the benefit of the public, would you share what are some of the long-term debt that we're servicing?
In terms,
we have $61 million. I think it would be
sure.
It'd be helpful to just quantify that.
If I had my budget.
The three or four larger items.
Sure.
Here,
the bulk of it actually is the enterprise funds between the electric and the water. Comes
correct.
Up. The water alone is around 20 to 25 million.
Right.
The rest is the electric. So
correct.
Close to 40 million of our debt is actually in enterprise funds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the IEPA loans alone, yeah, those are quite large for the water treatment facility and the wastewater. So, yeah, I would say at least a good 50% is the enterprise funds. Most of it, the debt that's in the debt service fund is very low compared to everything else, yeah.
And the length of those bonds, we'll be looking at
The IEPA loans are quite long. If I remember,
years.
Yeah, 20 to 30 years. Yeah, there's the commuter parking lot has a few. The SSA one has about 250,000 somewhere around there. TIF, in fact, TIF is one that we were looking at paying off, but with the design engineering, we're kind of trying to juggle that. We'd like to pay that off to get rid of that TIF debt and save some money there. But you're right. I mean, there's
the majority sits in our
25 million of it is in water.
Okay,
so. You're looking at probably three quarters as an enterprise.
Good. That's good to know, though.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, there's three people in uniform back there that we haven't asked questions of yet. If who wants to talk about the digital speed display unit? And
are you talking about the scouts or the?
Well, the scouts can answer it, but these are grown-up scouts. They pack guns. I'm not touching them.
Better be careful with that.
I know,
too.
Chief, we've had a lot of conversations, and I think that's one of the things that aldermen get the most calls on, other than open burning, is traffic. would be the traffic, and I know I'm a fan of this, and I asked you to put this in the budget this year. So I don't know how you plan on using it. Is it used in areas that you know where there is a problem or where you get the most complaints, or how do you plan on using it?
Well, I think both. We'll react to complaints that we receive throughout the year. Those are something that, as all of you know, we do get them on a regular basis throughout town and neighborhoods and every neighborhood you can think of. And we have limited opportunity to be able to address all of them just based on the sheer number of them. So this would help address some of those in a somewhat more of an effective way by allowing us to put something out there that can stay out there for many hours at a time, even a couple of days at a time. And it's much easier to install for the officer that would be installing it. It can be done by one person. It can be installed in a very safe and easy way. So I think it would be something excellent for us to be able to use as a tool to raise awareness for in areas where speeding is a problem, and remind those who are obeying the speeding laws that they are doing a good job, and just keep it in the forefront of everyone's mind.
Because this is, just so everybody realizes, this is just a tool to let people know the speed that they're going. No
yes.
tickets and stuff get issued on this.
That's correct.
This is just a reminder that I believe they flash quickly if you're over the speed limit by a certain amount of speed and that. And so it's to try to get people.
How do you know that?
I drive with my wife. I sit in the passenger seat. Uh-huh.
Where are some of the target areas you're looking at?
I don't have any specific areas in mind at this moment that are above, I don't have a top 10 list or anything.
Okay.
We would just address them as they arise.
So your plan is sort of a couple of days at each location and just keep moving?
As much as possible.
These things are out 24/7, right? Weekends included?
Yeah.
They could be, yes. Mm-hmm. And they're battery operated or battery powered. The battery will keep the unit powered for, I believe it's like 48 to 76, 72 hours, something to that effect. And again, it allows us to keep that unit in place in areas that the old unit wouldn't be able to be stationed in, because we had to have a squad car to sit out there, because our old unit would mount to the back of the squad car. So we'll be able to locate this type of piece of equipment in locations where we couldn't necessarily have parked a squad car, for example, in a parkway. So I think it'll allow us more versatility and just be a great tool for us to address, just to add to what we can do to address speeding complaints in the community.
Yeah, and I'd like to thank you. I know we've sat down with a number of people, you and I, with complaints over the last year or so, and I appreciate that time and effort. And I do think this is going to help make people aware, because I think a lot of our issues we find is people just are not aware of how fast they're going down some of those roads.
Sure. It's easy to get into bad habits, and this is a good reminder.
Thank you.
Going back to finance, I had one question, and this was regarding interest on the 90 or 90 day, 95 day surplus that we're keeping, and I'm wondering if are we confident that the return we're getting on that 95 days worth of money is the highest we can get. I know at the when I was on the library board, we put out for bid, I believe, the excess funds, and we're able to capture another 20 or 25 basis points on $5 million or something.
Interesting question in this interest rate environment. We don't have an active manager. I know where I've worked elsewhere, we've used LaSalle Bank, and they've invested our funds, gotten excellent return, but that was 4 or 5 years
ago. Can we look at that, though, a few years ago, a company to do that? Or
I don't know. Now, they did in the pension funds.
What was the?
Yeah.
The
PMA.
PMA, we, yes. They, we have.
That
we,
was what I was thinking.
Yeah, we've
of,
been
yeah,
putting, so. I've been trying to get as much available cash over to PMA. Right now, they're. Prudent man. It's there. It's short for prudent man. I forgot. Prudent man and associates, something like that. They're a investment pool for governments, much like Illinois funds, but they pay a much better rate on deposits. Right now, they're paying 0.2%, which is not a lot, but it's better than Illinois funds is doing. Illinois funds have been at 0.05 for most of the last couple of years. Also, they allow us to invest in CDs. I've been able to get some brokered CDs. You've been seeing some of those probably in the investments, 0.5, 0.1%, something just to kind of spread the money around, especially since nobody's offering collateral. Most of the banks are not giving, are not taking anything over $250,000 because they just don't want to pay for the collateral. So it's becoming more and more difficult to put some of our funds, at least for what we can purchase right now. In the past, where I've been before, we bought agencies and securities to try to get, you know, 3-5 year return. We don't have a lot of available funds, so that's something that was really never done here before, and it's something I haven't been able to get off the ground. But and since we don't actively do the pensions, somebody else does. I don't have available, you know, to those.
When I thought it was the PMA, was what I was thinking.
Right.
They
mm-hmm.
did come in and
yes.
and say that they would, but evidently we just don't have enough cash available.
And I've been trying to get as much as possible over there, over the last year.
What
or
would
so.
You say our balance is right
over
now?
There right now? Oh. Right now I've got about $2 million over there. Mm-hmm. Most of it is electric because they have a lot of available cash. So I've been trying to get as much over there as possible.
Okay. It might, I think that that's something we should probably take a look at. There are a lot of groups out there that vie for
right.
Short money, cash management, management, and that could bring in another $20,000 or $30,000, I think.
Yeah. When I came here, one of the first things I tried to do was, one, get situated, two, fix as much, you know, things that I felt needed to be done. And it's taken me a year to at least get a good footing. Some of you know some of the things that have been going on in the past. But I think now, like I said, the last few months I've been able to spend some time sending money over to PMA, sending money elsewhere to try to get that better rate of return. So it is something that it should be as a goal and we'll bring forward.
Anyone else on the dais or from the audience? Yes. Mrs. Campbell.
I wanted to ask Mrs. McKittrick on the, and you went through it quickly, so tell me about updating property listings in the historic district. What exactly are you talking about?
That's one of the goals in our community development department for the upcoming year, and I should probably let Dick give you details on it, but specifically looking at the properties and updating our database. Dick, do you want to explain?
I mean, is
how
this similar
done?
To what you had done in 2000 when you had an outside consultant come and determine the significance of all the historic buildings in the historic district, or is this something different?
It is quite similar.
we're updating that information. And we also have structures that have simply gotten older since we did that survey last time. And we want to update that information so that we have, particularly with the commercial properties, that we have the ability to tap the 20% federal income tax credit program for rehabilitation of structures. So we want to make sure that that's available to businesses in the historic district.
So there'll be, I mean, the same kind of thing, that they'd be what their significance historically or however you're going to have them rated?
Correct. It'll be a similar type process, but it won't be done with a consulting firm. It'll be done with internal staff.
I just wanted to clarify one thing while you were up here. I made an assumption. I just want to make sure. We talked about Prairie Green the other night. In this budget, is there those test patches of the grass? I thought there were. I just wanted to make sure. But there, that is in there. Okay, thank
Correct.
You. That's all I had. Mary, it was a nice job. You didn't get my list of questions. I couldn't find a lot this time.
Bless your heart.
You had a free Monday.
Not exactly.
Anyone else in the audience? Any questions or comments about anything you've heard or seen presented this evening? Scouts, what do you think, man? What's that?
We're confused, too.
It's not nearly as confusing as 7th and 8th grade, man. I'm telling you. If there are no additional questions or comments, we need to go through each item individually to recommend it for consideration. So without further delay, I will kick off with item 2A,
right, 2B,
recommend approval of proposed fiscal year 2012-13 general fund operating budget and budget public hearing on Monday, April 16th, 2012.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Maladra, seconded by Flanagan. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? 9 affirmative votes, 1 absent. Item 2C, recommend approval of proposed fiscal year 2012-13 general capital fund, infrastructure capital projects fund, budgets, and budget public hearing on April 16, 2012.
Moved. Second.
Tantino makes the motion. Brown makes the second. Questions or comments? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Let the record show there was 9 affirmative votes and 1 absent. Item D, recommend approval for proposed fiscal year 2012-13 electric fund operating and capital budget and budget public hearing on April 16th.
So moved.
2017.
Second.
No, 16. 2012. Forgive me. I'm sorry. I was just joking. Alderman Flanagan made the motion.
Second.
Alderman Kilburg made the second. Any questions or comments? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? Let the record show that 9 affirmative votes, 1 absent. Item E, recommend approval of proposed 2012-13 water wastewater fund operating and capital budget and budget public hearing on April 16th, 2012.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Maladra with little or no enthusiasm, seconded by Dantino.
Sorry, with more enthusiasm.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Any questions or comments?
You know, can I just ask one quick
question? Yes,
sir. Mary, this budget will probably change, won't it, when the consultants are done? This will probably be one that we will see some material changes to.
I would say that it's likely.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But that's obviously.
But we still need to set the budget, even though we know that there are probably going to be some material changes to this.
I would say it's likely.
Yeah,
and clarification, the changes after the fiscal year begins.
Correct. Yeah, it would be after that fiscal year because that work isn't supposed to be done until then. Okay, thank you. That's all, Mayor.
Any additional questions on item E? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? 9 affirmative votes, 1 absent. Item F, recommend approval of proposed fiscal year 2012-13 compensation and classification plan and budget public hearing on said plans, April 16th, 2012.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Hill, seconded by Marks. Any questions or comments? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? 9 affirmative votes, 1 absent. Item G, recommend approval of proposed fiscal year 2012-13 department goals and objectives and budget of public hearing on April 16, 2012.
So moved.
Right. So moved.
Boy, this is...
Motion by Maladra. Seconded by Hill. Questions or comments? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? 9 affirmative votes, 1 absent. New business. Gentlemen, anything at all before you go? You got to earn a badge, man. You have no questions whatsoever.
They sat through the budget presentation.
My God, that is unbelievable.
You could have left after the
Forget
council
the
meeting.
Scout
you met your goal.
Are these your sisters with you or what? Isn't that good, Ralph? Hey, look at that. Dudes, man, you got to go back to school tomorrow and report on this, or you got to report to your den mother or den father or what?
Yeah. Just as enthusiasm.
Sound like Maladra, for God's sake. It was a little enthusiasm.
That's some of our enthusiasm, didn't
you? What, if you ask us a question, I'll call Bidlack and Blue. No school tomorrow. Deal?
No questions.
Don't believe him.
We'll go to All Truffle Kitchen all day. We'll use the chief's card. Sir, come up to the podium. Okay. Introduce your name. Introduce us to you using your name. And tell us who your buddy is, too.
I'm Cody Heckendorf, and that's Michael Davis over there.
Heckendorf? I know the Heckendorfs.
Yep.
Grew up with your mom.
All right, my question, why can't we have a pool in Geneva? Indoor pool.
Motion's adjourned. What do you think, man? What do you think, Heckendorf?
I think he came to the wrong meeting.
I think he did. That's a school board meeting.
Yeah, go to the school board and ask them.
Park District.
Park District.
We have a
no,
river.
No, not the Park District. That's foolish.
Heckendorf, who's your buddy over
Failed
there?
In St. Charles.
Michael Davis.
It did.
Oh, that's school? A good solid name, Davis.
Indoor pool.
Not like Heckendorf, my God.
At the school.
How are you going to put that on your ACT test?
No. Separate Park District building. Indoor pool failed.
Anyone else? Any other questions, gentlemen? Members of the staff, thank you very, very much. We know how hard you work to bring the budget to this point. We thank you for your good work, your patience, your tolerance, answering all the questions that all of us have.
Motion to adjourn.
Dantino makes the motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Hill. All in favor say aye.
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 Microphones are off.